Welcome in, everyone, to Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
So glad to have you all here. We suffer no fools on this show, and sorry for running a few minutes late as we had some technical issues here, but good to see all of you guys. Welcome into the show. We are live and hope you are joining us from different locations around the world. Let us know where you're joining us from tonight. Maybe you're in the UK, where President Obama is visiting 10 Downing Street for some reason, because I guess he's the man who's secretly running the United States, and he's having secret meetings with world leaders. Who knows? But we've got a lot of news to get to on your Monday night. We're going to look at this massive measles outbreak and tuberculosis in 17 different states. What in the world is going on? Well, we will tell you. And yes, it's all being orchestrated by the Biden administration at these illegal alien immigration shelters in these cities and states.
Plus, we're going to tell you about the Russian presidential election that happened over the weekend. Now, the Western media is mourning the fact that two candidates did not run, one because he's dead, and the other one who did not actually register properly. But they're saying that is proof that there is no democracy in Russia. Well, we're going to go to Russia. Mike Jones joins us to break down what actually happened in Moscow this weekend.
Meanwhile, you know, in Ukraine, they canceled elections. So, you know, but that's democracy,
that's, I guess. That's fine.
Take your
totally
pick there.
Totally fine.
Also, this weekend, Tucker Carlson got into a bit of a scruff with pirate Dan Crenshaw over how the illegal use of our intelligence agencies is blocking and collaborating on with big tech companies to censor Americans. Dan Crenshaw says that's not happening at all. Tucker Carlson called him a bald-faced liar. We're going to get into all of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Welcome in. Good to see all of you guys here. I'm sorry that we were running a little behind on the show tonight. We really appreciate it. I did receive a really nice email from a viewer who said, I finally signed up for the Redacted newsletter after a year and a half of waiting. And I can't believe I waited this long. And they're like, and I won't say who it was, but this individual is very kind and said, I can't believe I waited this long. Such a great newsletter. Anyway, it's our
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. Was not Dad. Thanks. So our newsletter comes out every day. Just go to redacted.inc. Please sign up for it. It's totally free. And just put in your email address. You will receive a welcome email from me. You just have to confirm it. It might go to your spam folder, your junk folder. Just click that you'd like to receive it. And then tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., 8 a.m. Eastern time, roughly in that neck of the woods right now, you will receive it in your inbox first thing in the morning, where we cover like four or five of the big stories of the day. So please sign up for our daily newsletter, redacted.inc.
I say Dad because my dad doesn't read much of our stuff and he doesn't watch my segments and it hurts my feelings. But
right,
you're
Dad.
Here, so thank you so much. He also never read my term papers.
I had to spend 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes talking to my dad the other night, just 10 to 15 minutes explaining to him what it was I did for a living, and he couldn't wrap his head around video editor. And I couldn't think of how else to describe it. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think our parents probably have no idea like how we, this new world.
Your mom watches the show.
She does. Yeah. My mom watches
and
the
I'm
show.
And I'm always like, Dad, you might like this segment that I did. You might like this topic. But, you know, I'm not the youngest. I'm the oldest. And they never give a shit about the oldest. They only care about the baby. I'm not bitter about it or anything. But anyway, we'll get to the news and I'll do my therapy another time.
Okay, yeah, therapy session over. Let's get to the news. Well, 4 years ago this week, if you can believe it, the World Health Organization declared a global COVID pandemic and forced us into lockdowns 4 years ago. And now the United States experiencing a massive measles outbreak across 17 states. Why? Why is that happening? Well, with surging cases unlike anything the U.S. has ever seen before. Here's the data. Here are the number of measles cases reported by week. Doctors saying this will become measles mayhem, their words, in the United States because measles is the most contagious disease we know of. The disease is one of the most infectious known to man and is spread via droplets in the air or contaminated surfaces. On average, one child will spread it to 18 additional children. The mainstream media would have you believe that it's because vaccine hesitancy has led to fewer people being vaccinated. But really? Is that the case? Or is that how mainstream media wants to spin this to you? It sounds like that's total BS. Why then are measles outbreaks happening at illegal immigrant shelters in sanctuary cities, like in Chicago? Where are the measles outbreaks? This week, the CDC arrived in Chicago, among these other, the Pilsen shelter in Chicago, UC Davis, Sacramento, Planet Fitness in Flagstaff, Arizona, 45 cases. But they arrived in, at the CDC arrived in Chicago at this illegal immigrant shelter to assess the situation after people started breaking out in red-like bumps, it first started appearing, like cold-like symptoms, and then quickly turned to painful red bumps. According to the NHS, it typically starts in the face and then behind the ears before spreading further. I'd love to know in your in the chat right now, watching us on Rumble, YouTube, on X, in your community, have you heard any about any of these measles outbreaks? Is your local news reporting this? Any cases? Because it's spreading. There are dozens of shelters across Chicago that house nearly 20,000 illegal aliens that we know of, all bused there or flown in out of state or out of country, like the state of Texas busing these people. Watch.
More than 13,000 migrants are currently living in 27 shelters run by the city and the state, according to a census of new arrivals. Most of them have arrived since June 2023, part of the busing campaign by Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott, who says he sent more than 100,000 migrants to sanctuary cities.
Yeah. So the Pilsen shelter in Chicago just got a visit from the CDC. It was one. It was an old warehouse, which, of course, was converted into an illegal immigrant shelter. Measles started tearing through that shelter, and it's been, and they've been trying to figure out exactly how to put a, you know, to stop it. Watch.
The CDC has a team in Chicago now to isolate the spread of this outbreak and get it under control. Measles, as you probably know, highly contagious virus and is easily preventable with a vaccine. Yesterday, the mayor said that the city's health department is going floor to floor at the shelter, offering vaccinations to those who either are not vaccinated or to those who do not know their vaccination status.
So what I
they're doing the best they can. They're vaccinating. That's definitely the answer. But we still need the proper screening. They need to go through everybody, quarantine them properly, and maybe then we can get this under control.
Yeah, sounds like a bloodbath.
Yes, only measles mortality dropped long before the measles vaccine was introduced into the population.
Exactly. So according to the book, Turtles All the Way Down.
Right.
The data, actually, that's why I wanted you to bring this up. The measles data is startling. So the mainstream media would have you believe it's because of the vaccines. Stop the measles. Stop the chicken pox. Put it under control. Really? According to the anonymously written book by doctors called Turtles All the Way Down. No, it was already going down well before vaccines.
In fact, measles mortality dropped 1950 to almost 0%. The vaccine was not introduced until the mid-60s.
So,
and measles, yes, is, you know, it's a complication, a bacterial complication from the measles that causes mortality and can be treated now with antibiotics. So the problem with the measles vaccine is that we were never given actual statistics about the risk factor of the measles vaccine itself so that we could weigh it against how dangerous measles is. If you get measles, most of the time it can be treated quite easily. If it turns into a rare complication, that also can be treated with antibiotics. So the public has never been able to give informed consent about the measles vaccine, although the vaccine does seem to prove some amount of herd immunity. So the more people that get it, the less it's in a community. So if you have this community that's coming from, let's say, because these diseases are, they spread in places that are less sanitary. That's really all there is to it. And so if these are less sanitary places now are spreading, that's how the disease spreads. And it's less, it's less dangerous for those of us in, you know, a more advanced society who can then be treated for it.
A former Border Patrol agent told me that now at a lot of these shelters, they're experiencing like unbelievable amounts of diarrhea.
Oh,
just
that's awful.
Rampant diarrhea. And this is happening in the United States. And the mayor of Chicago has had enough and is starting the eviction process. So kick them out of here. Where are they going to go from here? You can just move on. Listen to this.
Chicago Department of Public Health announcing the measles outbreak at a shelter for migrants continues to spread. Two more cases confirmed today for a total of 10 altogether.
WGN's Jenna Barnes is here now with the latest on that. Jenna.
Mike and Ray, amid that measles outbreak at the shelter in Pilsen and after several delays, the mayor indicating today shelter evictions will begin at the end of the week.
And they can return to the loading zone. That's one place, or they can decide to move on. You know, they don't necessarily have to remain within the structure that we're providing.
Mayor Brandon Johnson says evictions tied to the 60-day limit on migrant shelter stays will begin at the end of this week, despite a measles outbreak that has one shelter under a 21-day quarantine. In this letter Tuesday, more than a dozen aldermen asked the mayor to do away with that eviction policy altogether. He says there will be exceptions.
Individuals who are in the process of securing housing or out migration, if there are other extenuating circumstances around their health or pregnancy.
For those who aren't exempt, Johnson says they can reapply for it.
So just move along.
Yeah.
Move along and move out. You don't have to stay in the structure that we're providing. Like, that's just a temporary shelter that we set up at this warehouse. So, you know, just go out and come on, blend into society now.
Yes.
You're American, and go, by the way, when you're on your way out, go ahead and vote as well.
Right. Someone said, did Natalie just say to get the measles vaccine? I didn't say that. I'm saying what we should do is ask the CDC for real clinical trials around the measles vaccine so that we can make a calculation as to how dangerous the measles are versus how dangerous a vaccine is. That's what we should always have, is informed consent. We never have got that. And the measles have never been tested against a true placebo.
Yeah. In addition to which, we have tuberculosis. So according to the NHS, you only get measles once and either had them as a kid or in the form of chicken pox or were vaccinated against them at some point. So if we listen to the experts, then you were vaccinated, you'll never get the measles. That's what they tell us, right? If you were vaccinated, you should never get it. That's what they tell us. I think we're about to see if that's true or not, right? Like, this could be the largest trial we've ever seen, because they tell us if you had this vaccine, you'll never get the measles. Of course, Chicago, not the only place. 17 states now experiencing these outbreaks. And
well,
doctors say,
I'm sorry, if you're vaccinated against varicella, you can later get shingles because now it's been introduced into your body. So you can have other flare-ups from, say, measles or chickenpox and things like that.
I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, so okay. We will see what happens too, because we are largely a vaccinated population for measles.
What is it with the U.S. bringing back tuberculosis, measles, Ebola, potentially? Like,
it's retro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
we just want to see, we want to see it in action once again, because that's exactly what's happening. And again, Chicago is not the only place. 17 states now experiencing these outbreaks, and doctors say Arizona is the most vulnerable state in America right now. I wonder why. Maybe it's proximity to things. I don't know. And here was the first case 1 month ago, and now surging cases in Arizona.
It's considered one of the most contagious viruses.
9 out of 10 people who get exposed to that air will develop measles if they don't have the immunity to it.
And it was just confirmed in Arizona.
The Maricopa County Department of Public Health is investigating a positive case of measles here in the county.
Assistant Medical Director Dr. Nick Staub wouldn't say much, only that the person was visiting from overseas.
I mean, the one thing we know...
from overseas.
The one thing we know from these contagious diseases is that we were able to eradicate it when sanitation became more reliable inside cities and towns. And so when we no longer had horses as our main use of transportation,
taking dumps in the
there
street,
there were no flies spreading disease from horse poop in the street when we had plumbing. Right. And so we are now mixing populations that live in less sanitized places. And we're doing so carelessly. We're not taking care of them. Obviously, who wants to think of a migrant suffering terrible diarrhea in a place that's not home? And we're not taking care of anybody, really.
Yeah. And not migrant, illegal immigrant. Dr. Mark Siegel, medical director at New York University, also warned that these illegal immigrants could bring diseases across the southern border into the United States, which could include drug-resistant tuberculosis, which is what we're seeing now. I spoke this weekend to former Border Patrol veteran J.J. Carroll, author of the book Invaded, and he told me, I mean, It was unbelievable what he was telling me. He said, like, quote, my last year in the Border Patrol was Biden's first year when COVID was still considered a deadly disease. We were releasing everyone to NGOs, non-governmental organizations. One bus for COVID negative and one for positive. And the NGOs would then release the positive population into San Diego or Riverside airports and bus stations. And he said whole stations were shut down because of lice, scabies, tuberculosis outbreaks. Never reported, he said. The Border Patrol, in fact, he says now it's much worse and at a much higher rate, according to the Border Patrol. And he says Border Patrol no longer reports these outbreaks. And Border Patrol stations are many times in the middle of large neighborhoods, school zones, etc. And he said we're seeing lice, scabies, skin ailments, drug-resistant tuberculosis, polio, AIDS, HIV, and literally diseases and conditions that are unknown to our doctors. This is from the Border Patrol. Border Patrol stations have holding capacities of 150 to 200 people, and it was and is out of control. Now imagine what is happening in large immigrant detention facilities in major cities that hold over 2,000 people and thousands living on the streets. Talk about unsanitary, and this is what's being brought into American cities right now. And by the way, being organized in large part by the, well, by the Biden administration orchestrating all of this and in collaboration with the cartels across the border. I've just co-authored a new report on the cartels specifically, and I can't talk about it here on YouTube because they will flag it and they will not be allowed to do it. So check out, I just wrote this and co-authored this report. Go to redacted.inc/cartel and you can read all about how these cartels are ferreting these individuals across the United States, right with the Biden administration's help, by the way. And they want to get up there and pretend like during the State of the Union address that the border is secure, is what Biden basically told us, that he couldn't do anything about it, that it's the Republicans' fault. It's being orchestrated directly by them. So we'll talk more about that in coming days here on the show. But for now, 17 states dealing with this outbreak. And my thing is they're going to be using this to tell us we can't go to school. They're going to close schools down for measles outbreaks. They're going to do all of this now. And you know, right in time, by the way, for an election, right in time for mail-in voting, right in time to keep us home because of these outbreaks in all of these major cities.
Well, you might recall back in January, we reported that the British Medical Journal published a study calling for behavior interventions to reduce vaccine hesitancy. So this is a very convenient story that popped up around this behavior modification. So we talked about this. What do they mean by behavioral modifications? What do we, if you are someone like me who says, I actually didn't give informed consent to give my kids the measles vaccine because I was never given a proper clinical trial and I would like one. What do you want to do to me for saying that? What kind of behavior modification do you want, right? And so we talked about this. This is, again, we can see how it can and will be used. So look out for that. We have more news to get to. We're going to talk about the presidential election in Russia over the weekend. Was it a scam or wasn't it? We have a reporter on the ground in Moscow. Mike Jones joins us. We're also going to talk about this Twitter battle or online battle between Tucker Carlson and Congressman Dan Crenshaw. And we're going to talk about whether or not Google is influencing election outcomes in India and elsewhere. I think if you've been watching Redacted for a while, you know it's not really a hypothetical, but we have some solid things to show you, so stick around for that. But first, we want to tell you about a new show sponsor at 1775 Coffee, because if you, like me, do not like substandard coffee, you don't like crappy coffee, you will not stand for just something regular, basic? No, that's why you want to know about 1775 Coffee. They are bringing you a coffee that embodies a revolutionary spirit. It's crafted with passion and precision. Their beans are ethically and exclusively sourced from the finest coffee farms in Bolivia. 1775's coffee farm is a farm-to-cup journey. They ensure the highest quality, authenticity, and sustainability from start to finish. With each sip, your palate will recognize, appreciate the dedication and passion that goes into crafting this single sourced brew. If you are like me, when you go to bed at night, you think about how awesome your morning cup of coffee is going to be.
Yes.
This is something that I think about. I expect it to be peaceful. I wait until the kids are out to school. So try them out. Choose 1775 Coffee by going to 1775coffee.com/redacted. Use our code redacted for 10% off at checkout on your first order. That's 1775. You have to type in the numbers, 1775coffee.com/redacted. Vladimir Putin won re-election in a landslide this weekend. He won reportedly over 87% of the vote this morning, with over 99% of the vote counted. Yes, we would call that a landslide. The Western press is saying these elections were a scam and that Putin shot down his major opposition, so this was not a free and fair election. Joining us from Russia is Mike Jones, a British journalist and someone who is on the ground in Moscow and has observed the things that are and are not happening. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So a couple of things that the Western press is saying: that these were not free and fair elections because the major opponents of Putin were not allowed to run. So can you tell us a little bit about the temperament of this election and whether or not it does seem, in fact, that Putin has 87% support?
So yes, he does have an overwhelming majority of support. This idea that he didn't have opposition is, again, pretty preposterous. As I've often said on this channel, the second largest party is the Communist Party. So Kharitonov, Nikolai Kharitonov, 75-year-old leader of the Communist Party, came in second. For perspective, he gained something like 4% of the vote. We then had Danakov of the other party, 3.8%, and finally Leonid Slutsky with 3.2% of the vote, which gives you an idea of the disparity. So there definitely were these opposition figures, but people I spoke to that voted, it was kind of humorous. They weren't aware of the other candidates until they read the ballot. I said, so you've never heard of Leonid Slutsky? Like, no, not until I looked at the ballot sheet.
That's not paying attention, just Putin is their main squeeze.
And this is actually a very serious point to make when it comes to Russia. Putin is the only option, really, certainly at this point in time, that Russia has. It is a concern of Russian citizens of a post-Putin era. It also, if you think about it, it can be seen as why the West has pushed so heavily for regime change in Russia. There is no real, trusted, viable alternative to Putin at this point in time. And that's a great weakness for Russia. So again, I'll stress, this is why perhaps Newland and the collective West have been pushing so hard to cause turmoil in Russia. I have never seen such a concerted campaign by any power in the world to interfere in another country's democratic process than what we've seen in the lead up to the Russian vote. We saw a swath of drone strikes against even as far north as St. Petersburg, all the way down south to Rostov. We saw a concerted effort by the Ukrainian military under this guise of Russian volunteers to try and actually violate the borders in Belgorod. We've had civilian polling stations targeted not just by artillery, but also by guerrilla tactics of Ukrainian telegram channels, paying people to throw Molotov cocktails, pour paint, all sorts, even blackmail, where a man from the SMO, a military veteran, was scammed out of his compensation payment for an industry and was promised the return if he then sabotaged the ballot box. We then have Matthew Miller of the US State Department threatening international observers for doing their job, which for me, again, is baffling, because surely these international observers are your greatest asset in exposing what Matthew Miller and the West are saying are sham elections. Surely these very people would be able to record evidence and broadcast that evidence and proof. You wouldn't need to record scam videos where you stage a Russian polling station, quite obviously, and pretend that soldiers are looking over the shoulders of citizens. So for the countries that are the champions of democracy, let's also note that Ukraine has suspended its elections. You're not allowed to vote there. It really is flabbergasting hypocrisy.
Right. And so I think what two things that the Western press is holding on to is that Nadezhdin was not allowed to run, and so Putin was shutting down that opposition. And Navalny mysteriously died. He was not a candidate for this election. He was in prison. Now, let's just quickly touch on those two dudes that the West is holding on to as proof that this was not a free and fair election. Now, Nadezhdin, you and I spoke about recently, was a very little known candidate, and he failed to properly register his candidacy because of suspicions of high percent of invalid signatures. Russian President Putin said on Sunday when he was asked about Navalny that they were intending to actually prisoner swap Navalny before his death, which supports the theory that the West could have killed him.
Secondly, as for Mr. Navalny, yes, he passed away. That's always a sad thing. But we had other incidents when people in prison died. Doesn't it happen in the United States? It has happened, and on many occasions. And I can tell you one thing, maybe it will come as a surprise. Several days before Mr. Navalny passed away, some colleagues of mine told me, not the people from, not the administration staff, some people told me that there was an idea to exchange Mr. Navalny for some people who are behind bars in the Western countries.
Can you just ring in on these two characters, these two archetypes that the West is holding on to, and then maybe ring in on whether or not Navalny was, in fact, a victim of the West when he was no longer useful as a puppet?
Yeah, actually, there's three candidates. We saw in quick succession, Yekaterina Duntsova was the first Western puppet that was held up. Came out of nowhere, funded, and like Nadezhdin, she failed to secure enough signatures to secure nomination and candidacy for the election. Very quickly after, she then sort of admitted that she had made a mistake in the filing of paperwork. Nadezhdin came on the scene, and likewise, he failed to collect enough signatures and allegedly, according to Russian sources and the official electoral commission, there were questions about legitimacy of some signatures, something about being using names of dead people. Navalny, as you rightly say, was never a candidate. He was in prison. He was not on the ballot sheet. He never had a chance to be nominated. And yet still in the Western media was an opposition leader somehow. The other point to make there is people were saying that Navalny said, go and vote as a protest. Ironically, I read in The Independent that those interviewed at this Navalny protest vote, one of the guys actually said he voted for Putin. So I'm not sure quite what was achieved there. What made me laugh was when they said, ah, yes, by voting for another candidate, these people are protesting against Putin. Well, excuse me, but I thought that's democracy, where if you don't like the incumbent leader and vote for the other one, it's yes, it's technically a protest. But, you know, is that not what has happened in other countries where Rishi Sunak sort of ran out to Downing Street when George Galloway got elected? A lot of people protested via democracy. So, again, we see this twist of narrative as to what's the usual process. With regards to Navalny, Putin came out after his sort of acceptance speech with his election and admitted this plan to exchange Navalny. And he was very careful in what he said in that. And then a few days later, a very sad event happened. Navalny died, which was, as he said, tragic, and didn't allude any further as to perhaps why. But I think, as you kind of point towards, it does seem that Navalny's last useful act was to die, sadly. And even that was a futile act.
Right. Yes, we had Gilbert Doctorow on the show, who wrote a great Substack about why he thinks the Brits did it. That's your country, not mine. Your country went rogue over Alexei Navalny. I encourage you to seek out that Substack in that video because it's fascinating, almost like the Bourne identity, but seems to be real. Now, you point out there were numerous attempts of bribe and coercing people into sabotaging ballot boxes. It seems like that was incited from Ukrainian supporters. What can you tell us about that?
Not just Ukrainian. And as you just said, the British are purportedly behind a lot of these actions, particularly this invasion of Belgorod, British coordinated efforts there. Yeah, it's been a long running action by Ukraine, the SBU, Budanov and the like of the scamming of Russian citizens. Initially, it was just for funds, but we've seen this change where they then demand certain actions if you wish to have your money returned to you. And then some compensation on top. A 21-year-old girl threw a Molotov at a school. risking hitting a young child on the promise of a very paltry 2,000 ruble reward. She now faces 12 years in prison because of a foreign power being involved in inciting these violent acts. Of course, the West then claims that this is a political charge. And then, actually, if I just make a point to the previous one,
so violence is democracy and voting is not, according to the West.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, to stage your protest, you need to burn schools and endanger not just civilians, but children as well. It has to be mentioned that 11 people are reported to have died in Belgorod from direct shelling of polling stations there from the Ukrainian military. So it has been a concerted effort on the part of targeting civilians. On a side note as well, we hear a lot of talk about these are illegal elections taking place in the Donbass. Donbass, as a small region, specifically the Donetsk People's Republic, 95% of people voted for Putin as opposed to the other candidates. The other point I wanted to make about opposition was it's very rich of the West to accuse Putin of blocking Nadezhdin, among others, when we've had Biden weaponize the law enforcement agencies against Trump and literally have him removed from the ballot. So the US is in absolutely no position to preach to anyone on those regards. But with regards to these actions, why would you need to do that? In the Western media, allegedly everyone's in protest, revolt, they hate Putin, they hate the war, and this was the chance for them to overthrow him. Why would you need to orchestrate such actions if the people are in this sorry state that you claim they are?
Right, good point. Okay, you pointed out the hypocrisy of the U.S., noted and agreed with. Let's also look at the hypocrisy of the UK. David Cameron posted over the weekend that the polls have closed in Russia, and that was an illegal holding of elections on Ukrainian territory, which you just pointed out. A lack of choice for voters and no independent OSCE monitoring. This is not what free and fair election looks like. And yet a Twitter community notes say, oh, that's so interesting that they had nothing to say on widespread election rigging in Pakistan. So would you like to comment on that?
Lord Cameron wouldn't know democracy if it sat on his face, quite frankly. He's an appointed individual, non-elected, much like Rishi Sunak, appointed, not elected. So again, the UK is in absolutely no position to preach to anyone else. I think it was Rogov of the State Duma pointed out that the UK has only the right to vote on the geographical territory of England. They're occupying Scotland, Wales, Ireland, among many other places, which, yeah, is quite a right point to say. So Northern Ireland in particular, could you not argue similar if you're going to point the finger at the areas of Donbass? Zakharova has also come out with similar comments. The UK are, as we know, one of the main orchestrators behind this. But again, to point out that there was no choice of opposition, outright lie. There were three other candidates, as I've already mentioned, to do so. The fact is that people are not interested in the policies that these other candidates represent. Would the UK have preferred the second leader, Kharitonov, the Communist Party, to have come to power? I suspect not.
Right.
So as I say, it's a real farce across the board.
Yes, it is. Well, thank you again for bringing us this perspective from the ground. You can follow Mike Jones at Foreign Agent Intel on Telegram. Always a pleasure to see you. Thanks again for coming on Redacted.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Mike.
I think people just don't realize that Putin's main opponent is the Communist Party. So, you know, the West hardly wants to embolden a Communist Party because that's not the talking points of the West. It's just such ignorance.
I think they might actually. Go ahead, Phil.
Oh, I was going to say something I find interesting along that point. When I was looking up, like, just, you know, putting together general B-roll for the Russian election this morning, there was when I just typed in Russia in the where I get, like, my B-roll, the first, like, images that came up were communist flags.
Hmm.
And I was like, I said Russia, not USSR. But it came up like all, it was just all like communism on the first page.
Maybe we do want them to go back to
communism. Well, the West absolutely wants it. Just look at what happened in Portugal in the Portuguese election, of course. You had the Green Party basically being marginalized. They had to team up with the communists basically, to even get any kind of, they've been cast out. So they have to team up with communists right now in order to try to gain some sort of a minority in parliament. And this is happening across Europe right now. So, of course, the West would want to embrace communists. They would be, they'd much prefer that. So you guys talked about some of the propaganda and a lot of the violence from the West, Britain, the UK specifically, and Ukraine shelling different polling sites. Ukraine, though, also launched a whole big weaponization this weekend of videos and propaganda from these polling places. And this was hilarious. I mean, this was absolutely hilarious and quickly debunked. So Ukraine launched these videos where they showed these are supposed to be Russian polling places. And their point in releasing this was, see how tough it is to vote in Russia? You have soldiers looking over your shoulder to make sure that you vote for Putin. And what's hilarious is this guy was carrying a toy gun. And and they used this same location for multiple videos that they filmed where they showed people being wrestled to the ground by the same soldier where using a toy gun. There's not even a table in these tents here, in these rooms where they're standing. There's nothing you can actually write on and fill out your ballot. This is great. This is great. I love that Ukraine is spending so much money right now on this type of propaganda.
Yeah.
Like, this is where their efforts are right now, putting
out
this girl.
Which is so hilarious because you can't vote at all. Oh, yes, you're right.
What's that?
I said it's clearly Russia because I don't know if you noticed this or not, but there is a Russian flag right there, right, conveniently located in the left third of the shot.
And the woman doing the homework there, she's like, I gotta look like I'm actually doing something
I'm
here.
Writing
I'm writing things down. I'm checking your votes. I'm making sure. I'm
well, maybe if we had audio, we'd find out that the way they vote in Russia is they just go behind that curtain and then yell out who they support, and then that woman marks it down on a piece of paper.
Yeah, but this soldier is making sure you're voting for Putin with his toy gun and his saggy pants.
With his Antifa mask.
Oh my God.
I mean, this is the level of propaganda. Again, Ukraine has canceled elections. Those people don't even have the right to vote at all.
What's hilarious too is that they're even putting up the fake pretense of a curtain. He's like, I'm going to go behind the curtain and I'm going to pull it closed like a shower. Look at this. He's like, I'm going to pull the shower curtain back closed again because I really want your privacy. Let me just close that up for you. And all right, here, let me close this one up. I'm going to pull this one closed because I care about your privacy. And okay, go back to being private.
Very scary.
Oh, propaganda. Anyway, it's hilarious. Right. We got more news to get to, though, on your Monday. I can't believe it's Monday. I thought it was Thursday. We're going to talk about Tucker Carlson taking on pirate Dan Crenshaw. It's a hilarious takedown. He really took him down with just one word, and Dan Crenshaw like freaked out and of course tried to take to Twitter to respond, and he got ratioed big time. But I'm going to go deep into what he's lying about. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because as interest rates are about to go up, perhaps instead of down, yes, the Fed may be in a real bind right now, really having their hands tied. With inflation coming in hotter than expected, they may have to do the unthinkable, and that is raise interest rates again. And March could be a very pivotal month right now with major talk of an economic recession right now. I mean, and this is exactly what we could be seeing. A number of economists saying within about 6 months' time, because we've had consumer spending now slowing down, we're seeing inflation coming in hotter. This is not what the Biden administration wants. And they have one choice right now. Either they can slash interest rates to try to make the economy not slip into a recession, or increase interest rates to try to tamp down inflation. So the Fed is really in a pickle right now, and you are in some serious turmoil when it comes to 2024. If you're in the Biden administration, you are not happy right now, because you know what that means when come election time. So right now, you can get all of this information. You can set alerts and everything right inside of your Moomoo app to get all sorts of heat map information. You can get analyst ratings. You can get all sorts of great data with alerts for gold prices, for silver prices, for what's happening with different companies. I get alerts every day, what's happening with inflation, all of that right inside the Moomoo app for free. And the best part is when you sign up, you're going to get 15 free stocks when you open your account. That's right. If you go to redacted.inc/Moomoo, you get 15 free stocks when you sign up and you make your initial deposit in the account. And right now, they are giving away an additional 3% APY on top of their 5.1% in their cash sweep account. That's 8.1%. even if you're not invested your money. So let's say you put like $1,000 in there and it's in the cash part of the account and you haven't invested it. Well, that's earning 8.1% right now. That's like, 17 times better than your average savings account. So even if you don't invest it, you'd be crazy not to even just set it up and have your money actually earning interest for you while you're deciding where you're going to deploy those funds. Maybe you want to invest in commodities companies. Maybe you want to invest in, you know, precious metals, real estate, whatever it is. But in the meantime, why not just have it earning 8.1% for a limited time? So the account is 5.1%. And right now for a limited time, they're throwing in the additional 3% for 3 months. So take advantage of it. Plus you get 15 free stocks. It's an unbelievable opportunity right now. So all you need to do to take advantage of it is go to redacted.inc/moomoo today to get to take advantage of it. That's redacted.inc/moomoo. That's right, redacted.inc/moomoo. All right, well, Tucker Carlson got into a fight this weekend with a guy by the name of Dan Crenshaw, who masquerades both as a pirate by day and a member of Congress by night, representing the people of Texas. He does a much better job, though, representing pirates and war criminals than the people of Texas. Over the weekend, Dan Crenshaw walked out of the floor vote to ban TikTok when he was confronted by a great reporter, Liam Cosgrove. And before we show you the soundbite, here's what Tucker posted on X about the confrontation. Here's what Tucker wrote. This is Representative Dan Crenshaw as he walks out of the Capitol after voting to give Joe Biden the power to shut down news sites that dare to challenge him. Crenshaw tells reporter Liam Cosgrove that U.S. intel agencies don't meddle in domestic news coverage, when, of course, he knows that's untrue. Watch his face as he says it. Liar.
That, I want to go, lol, that's hilarious.
How can you even say that with a straight face?
Right.
I mean, really? Do you not have any? We're going to get into all of this. So anyway.
Yeah, let's do. Let's
so,
watch it.
So watch this unbelievable moment.
Access to everything TikTok has, which means data on all Americans. And with data and with access to your, you know, app that you're addicted to, you can vastly manipulate an entire population, which the Chinese have done.
Right. Are you worried that our intelligence agencies are doing the same thing domestically?
Am I worried that? I know that they're not.
They're not manipulating Americans? They're not controlling the flow of information?
Yeah, did you have some evidence otherwise that you'd like to share?
I mean,
okay.
Before the point.
Any serious questions?
So ByteDance were to say
Congressman, you asked for an example of the U.S. intelligence agencies meddling in our information. What about before the 2020 election when 50 members came out and said the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation? Does that count?
No, because, I mean, they were retired.
They were retired, the FBI had the laptop for over a year.
There's nothing even close to a TikTok.
What?
What a smug idiot.
Hey, Clayton, do you have any information proving this thing? I thought not. I didn't think so.
Do you have any information? I thought not. Does anyone have a serious question? Oh, I'm sorry. I gave you one millisecond to answer that question. Really? Does anyone have any evidence? Really? You're saying that with a straight face, me matey? So Crenshaw is saying that, that U.S. intel agencies don't meddle in domestic news coverage. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt here, okay? One of two things has to be true, right? Either he's really stupid and uneducated, and that's entirely possible. Like, we give him the benefit of the doubt. We do all the time when we have trolls who watch our show and who don't read books and don't understand things. Or the other possibility is that he's totally lying, straight out of his eye patch. So what do you think? Again, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Is it possible that he simply doesn't know about the Hunter Biden laptop story and how the FBI worked with media companies to block and hide that story? That's been verified, of course, by a variety of sources, including Mark Zuckerberg himself at Facebook.
The FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump of that's similar to that. So just be vigilant. I mean, it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because it turned out after the fact. I mean, the fact checkers looked into it. No one was able to say it was false.
No.
Or maybe he's just too stupid or uneducated to know that the emails and the Twitter files confirming it and the secret access portal that still exists today. which gives the intel agencies veto power over content that they don't want published. Months after
To be fair, he can only see half of what we do. So, to be fair.
That's true. Months after Elon Musk took over Twitter, that secret portal was still available. And I asked Elon Musk about it during an interview on Twitter Spaces when he told me he was going to be looking into it.
The trusted Twitter partnership. And I know on Twitter's blog, that trusted Twitter partnership between Twitter and someone with a government email address can reach out to Twitter and basically have accounts banned, taken down. Is that portal, is that trusted partnership still available to the government? And given what you've released in the Twitter files, does it make sense for that to still be there?
I got to dig into this trusted partnership thing. You know, obviously that has like some Big Brother vibes. You know, Twitter will adhere to the law, but it will not do, you know, it's not going to go beyond the laws. And if there are laws that don't seem to be in the interest of the people, then Twitter will push to change the laws to be in the interest of the people. I'll dig into this trusted partnership thing, kind of what's going on.
So this back-end access that the FBI had.
Has.
Right. I keep saying past tense. Has.
Well, because they're appealing it today to the Supreme Court, whether or not they can continue to censor social media, because a court ruled they could no longer do it after the attorneys general from Missouri and Louisiana sued the federal government. And now they took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and oral arguments began today because they want to keep doing it.
Right.
So that's interesting that Dan Crenshaw seems to have forgotten that.
He doesn't know that two landmark cases being brought before the Supreme Court right now on our First Amendment rights, right? So now we also know with certainty that the FBI and the White House likely coerced social media platforms into removing posts, according to an appeals court. Last year, one of the most underreported stories occurred in September when a federal appeals court ruled that the FBI and the White House coerced social media platforms in removing posts that it didn't like. As Glenn Greenwald writes, the most underreported and underdiscussed story of 2023, federal district court, upheld by unanimous appellate panel, found the Biden White House FBI committed one of the gravest attacks on the First Amendment in decades by coercing big tech to censor dissent online. Even worse, he writes, the Twitter files was not the first reporting to prove that the Biden administration was doing this, but it was the most significant given how much evidence it presented. And corporate outlets like United, like herd animals, to implore the public to ignore it, a big nothing burger. And that's maybe why Dan Crenshaw doesn't know anything about it, because the media hid the story. And maybe Dan, you know, he gets his media from CNN or at New York Times, right? So when he was taking his morning dump, reading the New York Times, he didn't see any coverage of it. And so he doesn't really know anything about it. So maybe this week we should all help Dan Crenshaw become a little bit more educated about this. Here's his website. Here's his official email form from his website at Dan Crenshaw's website. All you need to do is go there, send him an email educating him about the First Amendment abuses by the White House and the FBI. It's crenshaw.house.gov. And send him an email. Again, it's crenshaw.house.gov. Send him an email explaining the truth. You can also call his office if you'd like. Give him some information. I'm sure he'd, right? Readers are leaders. So maybe he'd be appreciative of all the information. He might learn this for the first time. In the very same week that this Tucker-Crenshaw battle went on, The Verge reporting the CIA allegedly make fake... This, you can't even make this up. In the same week, the CIA allegedly made fake social media accounts to troll the Chinese government. They set up fake social media accounts to spread fake news about China.
Well, so we already know from last year's or 2 years ago, we got the Graphica report that they also do this in Pakistan and they do this in Afghanistan and they do this in Iran. And they put so much time into these social media accounts that not only do they sort of spread things about the Ayatollah, but then they're also sharing recipes and, you know, happy holiday posts and things like that. It's like a full-time job. Right. It's way more than I put into my social media, to be sure.
No, the CIA agents are very active putting out all of this fake news.
In PSYOPs. Yeah,
in PSYOPs. So I think Tucker is correct. Crenshaw is simply lying to you. But what's his motivation to blame the TikTok ban on China? We now know the real driving force behind the TikTok ban is Israel, not China. And, well, I dug into Crenshaw's campaign contributions, and Crenshaw makes hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Israel lobby. Might not surprise you at all, of course. So, of course, when Netanyahu calls him up, he has to respond. He's paid for by Israel. Crenshaw also has a shady history of campaign contributions. The FEC fined Dan Crenshaw for taking over $220,000 in illegal campaign contributions, did Dan Crenshaw. So that shouldn't surprise any of us. Here is the FEC report where Dan Crenshaw was taking over $220,000 in illegal campaign contributions. And as this report from December of 2022 points out, this isn't the first time the Texas Republican has run afoul of federal ethics laws. So Dan Crenshaw, it'll be interesting to see how Tucker responds. I've heard he's going to.
Wait, but did Dan Crenshaw respond to Tucker?
He did, and he just played a clip, an old clip of Tucker from Fox News like a year and a half ago to 2 years ago, talking about TikTok and talking about and saying we should, because there was movement then to get it removed. Mm-hmm. And so Tucker was commenting on it in terms of removing it under China's auspices.
Okay.
But my point is, can a person evolve and learn something about it and change his or her opinion?
Right.
Because as a journalist, like in a quest for truth, Tucker learns something about what's actually going on here and has changed his opinion of it.
I mean, maybe if you're 2 years old and you were born after the pandemic, you might think that the U.S. does not meddle in U.S. media,
right?
That the U.S. government. But anyone who has lived through the COVID pandemic should not say out loud that U.S. intel agencies don't meddle in domestic news conference.
It's ridiculous.
Coverage.
And I will say, I don't want to put words in Tucker's mouth. I don't know exactly how he changed his position on that. I was, you know, talking with him a little bit offline over the weekend about just, you know, his interview with Senator Rand Paul and so forth. And so I think he's definitely evolved his position on this. I think he's seen a lot more information, and I think he's changed his position, which, again, we should all want to evolve our positions, right?
Well, facts
present themselves.
Sure. And TikTok is not really the issue here. We can deal with TikTok separately. The issue here is politicians saying stupid things and ignoring facts that are immediately apparent to all of us.
Well, and what Tucker was arguing is Representative Crenshaw is giving the Biden administration power to meddle and to shut down news sites that dare to challenge the Biden administration. That was the argument in the original tweet. It's not about TikTok, as you're pointing out. It's about news sites. It's about websites. It's about information that the Biden administration doesn't want you to know about.
Yeah.
So that's at the heart of this. But of course, Crenshaw would divert and want to just focus on TikTok, of course. Anyway, let us know your thoughts on that in the comments below. Please make sure you're subscribed to our channel, by the way, if you're not already a subscriber here, either on Rumble. If you're on Rumble, just click the follow button there. And we're nearing 500,000 of you watching on Rumble, which is amazing. So thank you guys so much for supporting us there. And if you're on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button as well. YouTube loves
subscribing. We don't have 500,000 right this minute watching.
Right.
We have almost 500,000 subscribers, and that's very exciting. Again, we remind you that Rumble is a free speech platform, and that feels very good, especially as we're going to talk about soon in the next segment, how Google censors information and specifically plans to downrank misinformation in the upcoming elections. It's not going to be an encouraging segment, so buckle up for that.
So on YouTube, you can subscribe as well. That's totally free. And YouTube, as I was saying, YouTube likes to unsubscribe people like once a month. They like to go in for some reason and unsubscribe you from different channels. I don't know why that is. David, do you know, is YouTube still doing that to people's channels where they just unsubscribe people from things?
Oh, yeah. Yep. That has never stopped. They're cleaning out bots. So those of you that have been subscribed, you're bots.
Yeah, okay. So please resubscribe, and then, of course, on X. But yeah, we're going to talk about Google influencing elections in just a moment. But first, We'll tell you about our friends over at Lear Capital, because right now, as we were talking about, we are heading for a recession right now. And hey, gold, at least there's a silver lining in all of this, which is precious metals have skyrocketed. Gold has now hit an all-time high. This morning in our newsletter, we covered the price of gold. And Natalie and I are big believers in having precious metals. You can actually, if you work with Lear Capital, you can actually get my gold coin here on my table. You can have gold coins sent right to your house that you can keep in your safe, in your gun safe if you'd like. Or silver, you can have silver. Like here's 10 ounces of silver right there. You can have it sent right to your, there we go. Get in focus, there we go. The 10 troy ounces of fine silver right there, sent right to your door. And you can keep it in your gun safe if you'd like. So if you have a portion of your cash which is losing value every day, right, the US dollar continues to decline. So if you have it in a savings account making 0.001% in a savings account with your local bank, that US dollar then is actually losing money thanks to inflation. But a way to hedge against that, of course, is precious metals, making sure that you take maybe that $100 and convert it to gold or silver. And then it's wealth preservation, which has been around for 5,000 years, right? So again, every government currency in world history has collapsed. All of them. Do you think the US dollar is going to be any different? And gold and silver have been around for 5,000 years and have never collapsed. They've been around as a currency and a way to preserve wealth. So our friends at Lear Capital can help you get set up with this. You can have it shipped right to your door. Go to LearRedacted.com is the website, or you can give them a call and they will walk you through the process, and you can pick up their free $3,200 gold report right now, which target price for gold hitting $3,200 an ounce. It just hit $2,100 an ounce. So it keeps going up and up. They'll give you that report for free. Tell them we sent you. They're great people. Their 1-800 number, 1-800-613-3557. Again, 1-800-613-3557, or go to LearRedacted.com.
Google will censor election information, they say, out of an abundance of caution ahead of elections in 2024 in India. Now, is there any reason to think they won't do this as well in the 2024 elections in the United States? Well, duh, right? But let's look at what they're saying their plan is, because of course, we know that Google results are biased and that has an effect on elections. But let's look. Okay. So what Google is saying is that they are going to censor elections in the run-up to what's being called the largest Democratic election in human history. Next month, India will go to the polls. Prime Minister Modi is expected to be reelected, but this is being called the biggest election in history because an estimated 960 million people in a country of 1.4 billion are eligible to vote. That's massive. Modi is polarizing for several reasons, so Google will take it upon itself to solve that by what they're calling support. Here is their plan to support the next election. Now, some of this is what we would normally expect, what you Google, let's say, where do I register to vote? How do I vote? Right, in the United States, you're used to doing that. Where's my polling station? That kind of thing. So, of course, they're working with election officials to provide real information just in case, and this is certainly valid, somebody comes in and runs an ad for a fake place to vote so that your vote doesn't count. Of course, they're going to run defense on that. But also they say that they will rank YouTube videos according to authoritative sources, which of course means mainstream media and fewer independent channels like ours. And here is where they bring in the misinformation point. You know, we were coming to it. They say they will be using AI to combat misinformation for things that are demonstrably false. Now, the problem here is what they say they're going to rely on is their community guidelines. Well, that's something that we here on Redacted have to live and die on. And it is a moving target, to say the least. Also, they change all the time. We just talked about the Russian elections. It's hard to tell what's true or false based on what's being reported. The mainstream media, an authoritative source, didn't even try get coverage of the election. Correct. Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on. They're going to use AI?
That's what I just said.
I know. They're going to use AI? which, you know, we saw their first foray into AI over the past few weeks with their Gemini project, which when you punch in information about, you know,
a white person,
show me a white person.
Yeah.
You know, we can't do that. That's racist.
Oh, yeah. You ask to see the founding fathers, you get a Chinese lady.
Yeah. So good. They've really, really proven themselves with AI.
Right.
So election stability is in their hands.
Exactly right. And so currently, YouTube lists exactly which elections you can and cannot say are legit. Here, they have not a complete list, but you can see it's these. Well, I feel like I can't even say it. Can we put that on the screen? Yeah, not that one. The next one. Here at the bottom, I'm not going to say it because I am on YouTube right now. And when you say these words, you get flagged. So if you take a look at some of these elections, you cannot talk about election integrity. You cannot talk about candidate eligibility. Where do you think that came from? Maybe the birther movement. You cannot incite to interfere with the democratic process, such as encouraging others to interfere with the democratic process. Of course, that is a very slippery slope, right? And of course, you can't engage in voter suppression or giving wrong information. Now, we saw in the Twitter files when people sort of posted jokes about where to, you know, register to vote, like stupid ones that were obviously false, such as, oh, yeah, you know, go to vote in a porta potty or something stupid, right? That the federal government even suppressed things like that. And then, you know, labeled those people dangerous. So we know that this is not a perfect solution. Even today, when I asked Google's AI program if the Russian elections were illegitimate, says, I'm still learning how to answer that question. Well, who's teaching it is the question. What does that teach us that it will do in the upcoming U.S. election? Again, duh, we know that it will give priority to left-leaning sources and candidates and favorable stories about those people and those platforms will be prioritized while it will surface damaging stories about conservatives or conservative politics. In fact, that was allegedly proven in a new report saying that they interfered with elections and have been doing so since 2008. Now, what they mean by that exactly is a lot of what we're talking about right now. They presented biased search results, disallowed or downranked ads from right-leaning candidates. This report does come from a conservative group. They're called the Media Research Center, but let's just see what they say. They're saying that when you go to Google News, this all sides data shows that it completely eliminated all links to right-leaning media outlets while generously linking to left-leaning media outlets for articles related to Trump Biden elections. And look at the data on how much of 88% when you Google Trump, 88% of them were directing you towards MSNBC, CNN.
Oh yeah, you'll never, if you want information about Trump and you type in, there's no way that they're going to link you to like a Gateway Pundit article or a Daily Caller article.
Right.
Never.
Or anything even remotely contextualizing what the president has said or did say during his administration or during his campaigns. Even if he says something, for instance, the bloodbath story over the weekend was in reference to an economic bloodbath, which we're here. Right? This is it. You're living it, which he warned about. If Biden was elected, you would have $5 per gallon gas, record inflation. That's happening, but he warned about it becoming worse. And Democrats then took to MSNBC and CNN and said, see, he's inciting violence again. And that is the headline that you got if you were to look up the bloodbath story over the weekend. Again, I'm not saying that that's a super intellectual thing to say. But you deserve context if a major presidential candidate says that and you won't get that. Now, here are the recommendations from the Media Research Group. They're saying that Speaker of the House Mike Johnson should direct relevant committees to investigate Google's influence on elections. Again, though, I don't know. Congressional committees, they don't do that much. They sort of refer, but okay. I would watch it. I guess we would cover it. They say state legislatures should resolve any questions about whether Google is a common carrier so that they can regulate it. And they say Americans really should stop using Google products, especially for your media and your knowing of things. Now, it's worth keeping in mind that a judge recently dismissed a lawsuit from Republicans claiming that Gmail suppresses Republican email campaigns. Now, the judge didn't say that Google doesn't do this. In fact, the judge said it was a close case, but that Republicans hadn't succeeded in arguing that Google was doing this in bad faith. It's clear they do it, but Republicans hadn't argued that their intention was bad. So it happens. And this will probably continue to happen on your iPhone because the news today is that Apple may license Google Gemini to the iPhone. So if you were then to use AI on your iPhone.
Oh, my God.
I know. I expected you to burst into tears into this. And it's interesting because Tim Cook had said, we will invest heavily in AI. Does that mean they would license it from this highly problematic software or will they build it out themselves?
Well, the thing with Apple is that they've always done machine learning. So it's not cloud-based AI. Like Siri uses machine learning and is on device, mm-hmm. right? So it's not using, you know, it's not living in a cloud somewhere like Google, right? So it's different. So now they're going to rely on Google for this?
That's the reporting.
Garbage.
Wasn't it Google that paid into Reddit to be able to, for the opportunity to scrub Reddit comments for AI learning? Was that the Gemini?
Did they?
That sounds about right.
I believe it was Google, but that'll just be, I mean, can you imagine if we're getting all of our information from scrubbing Reddit subreddits? I mean, that's, we're doomed.
Yeah, we are doomed. Oh my God.
Yikes. Now, obviously, we don't want that to be the case. We have a vested interest in YouTube having a commitment to free speech because here we are right now. We want YouTube to get better. We want the AI to get better and more contextual and less biased. We want that, right? But we are also suspicious of any conclusion that they put towards us. And for me personally, anytime I see the algorithm wants me to think something, I'm inclined to look up the opposite. So beware of what you are able to see and what you are not. Let us know what you think this will turn into in the upcoming elections, either in India or the United States or beyond.
So where is Kate Middleton? That is the great question that's been plaguing Natalie's mind for the past week, all weekend. She's been concerned about it. Where is Kate Middleton? We haven't seen her in over 80 days.
Yeah, right? My daughter is really concerned about her.
There was rumors floating around today that the flag was set at half mast over...
I think
over,
those were fake news.
...over Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
And then other people came out and said, no, I'm at Buckingham Palace. The flag is at high, full on up. What's going on here? Well, just a few moments ago, apparently, and now people are saying this is a clone. This is the rumors that are circulating right now. We want to show you this video. This just happened a few moments ago. Here's Prince William, apparently at a farmer's market, and they shopping with Kate Middleton. But people are saying this is not her. Tell us what you guys think. Do you guys think that that's her? Look at this.
Oh, this is what I'm going to be doing all night.
Yeah. See, I told you. So. She looks, whoever this is, looks really, really thin. So she might, if she was hospitalized for a long time, this could be her. Anyway, people are freaking out saying they're trying to pretend that this is her. They would only let us get so close to her. There's chains up.
Chains. Yeah, they look like barbed fences.
She's, you know, they're shopping. Is that Kate or is that a body double? Is that a clone? And people in the chat, Eyeball Paul says that is not Kate. Kate will appear on... Nicola says Kate will appear on the Sgt. Pepper album with a mustache.
I don't know.
So some people say, all right, Andre Ryan says that looks like her. White Claws says that's fake. That's not Kate. Fake. So, Kale Anderson says, who is Kate Middleton?
explaining this story to my 11-year-old. Go ahead.
Had we not covered this last week, I wouldn't know. You'd be like, you could bring up Kate Middleton. I'd be like, who the hell is Kate Middleton?
And why do we care where she is?
Yeah.
And why do we care about her? Is she one of the Kardashians? I don't know.
I told my daughter about her. She's 11. And she said, well, I hope she's just suffering from a heartbreak because that she can get over. Taylor Swift does it all the time. So maybe she is. I don't know. Okay. We're going to need to shut off the show, and I'm going to have to dive down Twitter holes for this.
Yeah, all right.
I'm busy, you guys. Well, I got to go.
Let's put it up here on the screen one more time. Is this Kate Middleton here? Let us know in the comments whether you think this is actually Kate Middleton or not. Out for a farmer's market shopping this afternoon, and the Sun and TMZ getting some videos here. We'll see. Let us know what you think.
Are we
that.
Happy now? I'm not. I got to go.
Okay. We've got, I want to tell you about our Plus Club, Redacted Plus. If you'd like to support independent journalism, and you know, it's totally free to be a part of our show here, to subscribe, to watch us on Rumble, to watch us on YouTube, to watch us on X. But if you'd like to take the extra step, you can go to redacted.inc. And for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you choose and you can support us. And you get access to exclusive content, behind-the-scenes information, as well as exclusive interviews that you will get to hear before anyone else. In fact, we've got a really interesting interview coming up this week that has just blew my mind. And I think it might blow yours as well. Anyway, we're going to release that to our Redacted Plus members. If you go to redacted.inc, you can sign up. And again, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support us and be a part of our Redacted Plus club. So that's redacted.inc. All right. Have a great night, everyone. I know what she's going to be doing the rest of the night. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Good night, everyone.